Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. Our guest is Douglas Murray, a very, very astute and highly regarded observer of the phenomena that, well, go under different names. I call it the war for the free world. The challenge between freedom-loving people and those who have a different idea in mind, whether they be of the radical left or whether they be of the Islamist stripe, or, as is often the case, the common cause they seem to be determined to make to our great detriment. Douglas Murray, thank you again for so generously giving of your time for this conversation. We've been talking about the refugee problem and touching in various places on specifically the possibility, if not the high probability, that what we will see as these Muslim populations move into Europe, and in due course, in some measure at least, into the United Kingdom, that a problem that is already evident in many places, including your own country, namely that Muslim communities have increasingly become dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood or other Islamic supremacists, ghettoized in some cases. Some have called these things no-go zones, but whatever one calls them, they have become sort of incubators, it seems, of an increasingly radical form of Islam and therefore a threat of jihad in these countries. Civilization jihad, as the Muslim Brotherhood calls it, if not the violent kind. So give us a flavor of how this refugee crisis might exacerbate that underlying problem on which you have devoted so much time and energy.
Well, you know, very interesting. The Hungarian Premier, Viktor Orban, caused a little bit of a stir the other day when he said that he said publicly he didn't particularly want very many more Muslims arriving in his country. And other countries and heads in Europe and many people in the media criticized him for this. The problem about this is that European countries remain, to a great extent, desire to be blind about certain realities. And what I mean by that is that everybody knows that anybody who comes to a country brings a certain amount of baggage with them, as it were. Now, some of that baggage is good, some of it is bad. It's very rarely entirely bad or entirely good. But that, to the extent that people integrate, it takes quite a long time. That integration of the kind that we often talk about is a shallow form of integration. People in Britain talk about, you know, people who integrate, you know, people who get used to queuing and things. But British culture isn't defined by queuing. It's defined by a historical set of beliefs and principles and manners and all sorts of other things. So there is a pretense, as it were, that if you bring anybody from anywhere into the world, from around the world into Britain, they become as British as everybody else. And this is a sort of polite fib. It's not like that. People come and they bring all sorts of other ideas with them. That is something which we are fantastically scared of talking about. I think that America is scared of talking about this as well. But you and I know that, I mean, Italian migrants to Europe and to America in the last century brought a distinctive type of Italian culture into the melting pot of America. But they brought it and it remained there for a very long time, as any other migrant group would. So there's this pretense, however, because we cannot talk about this, there's a pretense that if you imported very, very large numbers of Muslims into Europe, it would have no meaningful effect on a European society. And I think at the very least you have to say to people, it's going to have some effect, and it will not be unadulteratedly bad, but it will certainly not be an unadulteratedly good effect either. And we are miles away from even starting that conversation.
Yeah, and as you say, Douglas Murray, that's so in this country as well. And Douglas, on that point, having looked hard at this, give us an appreciation of what's not so good at the moment that might be made worse by all of this. Specifically, I'm thinking of things like these population enclaves, if you will, for want of a better term, that seem to be increasingly exclusively Muslim. And as I say, more and more at odds with the native society and culture. Talk a bit about the Islamic courts that the United Kingdom now has, some 87 of them, I believe. And how all of this suggests that there may be kind of a parallel structure being developed in the United Kingdom to the detriment of its unitedness, shall we say?
Yes, I mean, this is the sort of thing which is simply likely to grow in number, depending on the numbers and depending on how they grow. I mean, you know, in terms of population, you're more likely to have more demand for Sharia courts if you have a larger proportion of Muslims and a higher density of them in a particular area. This is self-evident. Everybody knows that in areas where there are not very many Muslims, you don't have very many Sharia courts, and there's just an obvious reason for that. This goes back to the question, really, again, of identity, which is that I don't blame countries like my own for assuming the best and for hoping for the best and so on from people who arrive in the country. But it should be very evident by now that a lot of the people who come, at any rate, do not make any particular effort to integrate. They don't go down the local pub and drink warm bitter and turn up to church a couple of times a year at most. They pursue a different life within Britain. And part of that, for a large number of people, is to pursue a life which has a parallel system of beliefs and a parallel system even of laws. And the great failure, really, of European society in relation to this, and I think to an extent a failure in American society too, is to be clearer about what is and is not acceptable. Now, currently, most of the Sharia courts in Britain say that they operate within the law as arbitration bodies. And I think as a country you have to make a decision about whether you even want such things present as bodies for arbitration. Now, the current British government is looking into this. It does realize that Sharia courts are an issue. There is a sea change, certainly since a very impressive speech that our Prime Minister David Cameron gave in July about the whole issue of this, which I very much suggest your listeners to look up. David Cameron's July speech to the Muslim community of Britain did highlight these highly problematic areas. There's a counter-extremism report that's going to come out very soon from the British government. And I mention this because when Britain got our counter-terrorism and counter-extremism policy badly wrong in the last decade, one of the countries that picked up that extremism, anti-extremism policy was the United States of America. So given that Britain seems to be, on this question, if no other, going in a good direction, it's worth Americans looking at, because I think that just in the same way you can pick up a bad idea, it's possible that this good set of policies could be picked up in America too, and I very much hope so.
Well, I do as well, Douglas Murray, and I fear that that is unlikely to happen under this administration, but it is certainly true that if you've now got the old prevent policy, as I believe it was called, over the side in the United Kingdom, that we can, with some confidence, anticipate that a new president, looking more clear-eyed at all of these challenges, is going to say, well, let's look at what the United Kingdom is doing these days that might be a better model. I certainly hope so. And it goes without saying, but permit me to say it anyway, that what makes this so important and the work that you do at the Henry Jackson Society, Douglas Murray, so critical and so valued is, unfortunately, these are not simply parallel societies or parallel cultures. One is a supremacist culture. One is determined to have its way with the other and all others, for that matter. And that's what makes the refugee crisis, that's what makes the global jihad, the Muslim Brotherhood's operations and the like of such surpassing concern. Keep up the good work, my friend, at the Henry Jackson Society, at the Spectator, and in so many other places, including the Gatestone Institute. It is truly indispensable, and we appreciate it greatly. And I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Thank you for this hour. Thanks to all of you for joining us, and I hope you will do so again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.